Welcome back to the Nostradamus show. Took a week off and I had a little rant session week before that. Got some things going on, my new career and some things, so don't have as much time. Plus, I thought I wasn't going to be able to get here because of my car issue, and we'll just leave it at that. And
I'd have picked you up. I'd have saw you on the side of the road.
I had former prosecutor Michael Malis as the guest.
That was a great show. And just so I can, if you don't mind me interrupting, Michael Malis was awesome. That was a great show. I love listening to him and hearing his point of view on things. But
yeah, and he was going to be my guest. We were going to go round two. He's a libertarian, which I tease him and call him a libertarian. And we have some really good conversations because he actually has things that are debatable. Most liberals just are sensitive.
He's good at seeing both sides, right? And being good at both sides.
And all they know is the talking points, and then right. They get all frustrated and start calling you names. Or I love the grammar issue. Yeah, I'm riding my car typing this. Don't worry about the grammar. Right. Okay. Yeah. What we were talking about, I got a couple things. And one thing I want to say is if you've noticed, everything's kind of coming back to life. Everything, gambling, shows, events, all at like one time. Like the combination ox roast gun show. I mean, these ox crazy roast. Shows.
I think I live close to that. That's like, with the Amish.
They're trying to cram everything known to man into like every show.
I am so excited to go to the bar over in like Middlefield and see some Amish women throw down. I've heard about that. I want to do
that. So what I want to say is now you keep seeing my favorite little commercial. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLING, whatever the number is.
1-800-GET-A-BETTER-WIFE. Yeah.
What that really is you have a losing problem. It's not a gambling problem. Because if you're winning, you're not calling problem, that dude. Phone number. So let's just call it what it is.
Right.
If you're a loser, call 1-800-GAMBLERS-ANONYMOUS, whatever.
I was like, hey, I just hit $200, but it cost you $500 to get it. Yeah,
you might want to. No, you got the guy. I need this somehow. I just won $1 million. I can't tank it anymore. They should find him and then send him to
$1 million dollars would be great because then I could pick my wife.
But it's just funny. You're a loser. Nobody that's winning gambling is calling that number.
Gambling is fun to the point of like, you know, hitting like the darts and the balloons at the fair, you know, but it shouldn't be one of those things where you really have to.
Well, they didn't build Vegas so you could win.
Well, you know, well, the mob built Vegas. So, you know, you understand what
I'm saying. All those beautiful sculptures and that are because losers are usually.
And I meant to say that in the last segment, but we didn't get to it. The reason you had such a hard time at the airport. It's because of that watch. That's a beautiful watch. And somebody looked at that watch and they were like, you know what? This is,
Alini Barocas. Gosh, charge him double.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about that. And I wanted to talk about, did you see, well, first of all, the latest, Cuomo. I've got a couple nicknames for Cuomo. It's similar letters. But what I want to say here, did you hear Byron, where he said he was going to tackle the gun violence the way we tackled COVID.
Oh, I did see that. That's awesome.
So what does that mean?
You know what? You write a book about how well you did on effing up. You know, I'll do my own beat. You know, it is terrible.
But I mean, what? You wear a mask and the guy won't shoot you? You social distance enough where the bullet doesn't quite get to you. Is that what does guns and COVID have to do with each? I mean, how many stupid things could you possibly say? I mean, there's so many.
Is it just people in Ohio that are smart? Now, I know there's other states that have smart people, but they usually came from Ohio.
The only reason why they left because the weather sucks.
Exactly. You know, now I like to see the seasons change, you know, but you know, like about 90% of the people I graduated with moved to Florida, and Florida's doing great because you got DeSantis, so that's awesome, you know.
And everybody's moving there, so they're going to ruin it.
But the thing is you got these, you know, I'm just going to say this right now, and I know you got a spiel and do your spiel, but I have to get this out because I didn't get it out last time. There is, all right, please, people, listen, all right? I'm going to tell you what's up. There is a difference between Democrat and Republican, and it is not what you think it is, all right? Republican is not a bad word, all right? The only thing Republicans are people that want their rights, that believe in our military, and want the common and equal foundation of opportunity provided to them. Now, the problem with Democrats is Democrats want to do they want to fix social issues. Now, that is a thing that you can't fix, all right? If you help one person, you're going to piss off somebody else. You know what I mean? So forget, the only way you can fix a social situation is community by community fixing their own problem. But you cannot have a president saying, well, we're going to fix this social issue. You can't.
You just can't do it. In a school where you're now teaching like critical race theories.
Oh,
and stuff. Now, here's what I want to ask you. You have an African-American man married to a Caucasian woman, or the other way around.
Now, how does that work?
So you go to school and learn to hate what? Your mom?
Exactly. So what are you going to do about that? It's like, you know, you go to critical race theory is basically saying that white people are uppity and black people are minorities. What happens if you are mixed? You know, can you imagine that? Can you imagine being a mixed kid and thinking,
what's not to choose a side now?
Even in fifth grade, can you imagine hearing that? That is, I got chills right now thinking about that.
Japan is learning how to take over high tech.
While we're
learning crap that doesn't matter.
While we're fighting ourselves, other countries are laughing at us.
There's a thing called the internet. I don't know if it is. You want to go check on your history and tell them, go right ahead. It doesn't have a place in school.
No, it doesn't. No, school is for math and history and science and the real history. Yeah, yes, yeah. It's okay for bad things to have happened. You know, you don't have to say that George Washington had a slave. Okay, it was okay back then.
And who started them?
We didn't do it.
Where did the slaves start? In their own daggone country.
Yeah.
So that's where the idea came from.
Africa has a slave market now.
We didn't just wake up one day and go, let's go find us some slaves.
You know who, you know what? I loved when Biden said, I'm going to announce an African-American vice president, you know. And as soon as he said Kamala Harris, I happened to be at my mom's at the time. We were watching it night, and I stood up and I laughed my ass off because I was like, I knew he was too racist. She is not African American.
It doesn't even matter.
Charlize Theron is more African American. She was at least born in Africa. But
did he even know? Is that just another dumb? I mean, listen, she goes to the border only because Trump said he was going to go.
She went way to where it was.
She
nice.
Went to El Paso. Yeah. She might as well went to a freaking Taco Bell restaurant.
Exactly.
Than there, because that's not where the border problem
miles
is.
Miles away from where the problem is. Yeah. You got, you know, if you watch Newsmax, you can see like the 5-year-olds crying their eyes out because they were just dropped off and they're sitting there thinking, can you imagine being 5 years old and just being dropped off?
No.
Not knowing anything. And it's hot. It's hot over there. You know, so they're sitting there, you know, in 90 degree weather, just thinking, now what? Can you imagine being 5 years old and just being dropped off?
No.
In nowhere. And now what?
5 years old, dropped off at the playground where you could see your house and you still were scared. Now, one more before I want to talk about books. I want to talk about the voting issue in New York where, 135,000 test ballots were put in the machine and by gumbo, they forgot to take them out.
Don't you love how they call it test ballots now?
Yeah.
They weren't tests. A couple, you know, yeah.
Wow, we're so sorry. So now, wait. Everybody's bitching. Everybody's complaining. There's no fixes in. Wait, I thought we weren't allowed to question. I wanted to question elections.
Yeah. I tell you know what? I remember last show you were talking about. We were making fun of how you've been thrown in Facebook jail. I was literally just recently, last week, I did a 24-hour Facebook jail stint. I caught a charge. And because I basically, a girl was posting something, and just being funny, I said something like, you know, men are big dumb animals. And but I got thrown in 24-hour Facebook jail for saying that men are big dumb animals. If I can't say that, and that's funny because a couple of years, you've seen me post some shit. So for me to get in trouble,
I'm
for
way
that,
past the 24 hour. I'm into the gas chamber part of the Facebook jail. I'm past way past 24 hours.
Just like normal. We are so good at just like, we'll never stop. So let me do this before, you know, we get a little too far ahead. I wanted to tell you that I brought you a gift.
Oh,
and you said,
and folks, please keep an eye on this because this will work on how to get on the show. This I will accept gifts. And, believe me,
when you're talking to a like-minded person, you can like just go and go and go and squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. Yeah. So I just wanted to get this out of the way real quick. I brought you a gift. I brought you a couple books, and I did. You know, I wrote something nice for you in the back. But and this is the book you're in. You know, the one that you know you can.
The one
my lawyer can
seller,
talk to your lawyer. Your lawyer can talk to my lawyer. But yes, I would love to present this to you and the missus. You said the missus was a you know,
school
a teacher.
She's a tutor.
I would love for her to read that, and you know,
thank you for always being an advocate. It's nice, eh?
Yeah, you're always the advocate for the underdog and for the people that are trying to come out and be entertainers, and you're always watching
need
out
more
for
visionaries
them.
Like you. Thank you, Byron Lear.
Absolutely.
Well, that is very, very sweet. And I also just found out today that
oh, and the reason I'm only giving you two and not this one is because I'm hoping you like those and buy this
one. Well, I'm sure we will like these. And I didn't know until today that you did all the everything.
Oh, yeah.
To put the book out.
Oh, I designed the covers. I wrote it. I edited it. And that's why I want your missus to read it, because I'm a terrible, terrible English student. I know she's going to look at him. She's probably going to like highlight stuff and say, oh, my God.
Well, right away, I see the word tomatoes.
Tomatoes, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
But, yes, I wanted to give those to you because you, like I said, you are a great advocate for local talent, and you deserve to be noticed.
Well, that is awesome and really makes me very proud. That's very nice of you.
And don't think that some of us musicians aren't out here thinking about you. We do appreciate you.
Well, so some do, and some have extremely bad memories.
Right? The ones that drink tequila?
And the ones that are extremely short
I'm
memories
sorry,
of how much money I spent on their act that brought 20 people.
You know what? I am very proud of the fact that I think I'm the only person that never asked you from, well, you know, I am bipolar, and there's been times at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was like, hey, I need a $300,000 loan so I can save the world. And then you'll be like, you know what? Write a prospectus.
Why don't we look at that
tell me
tomorrow
in the morning? You know how to do it. You know how to do it. So
I'm going to be like, well, you know what? We'll take a long look at that. I'm going to write that down right here.
And then in the morning, I'll be like, oh, dude, I'm sorry.
Me and my staff are going to look at that. I promise you.
Right.
A long look at that.
But no, that's awesome. We do appreciate you doing what you're doing.
I'd like to, I also want to talk about all the shows that are coming back. I've had some shows at the AMP is back.
And that's good. I guess COVID is kind of over, I guess. Whatever. Ish.
And should I even say that? How many times can you see the band that plays the Journey? I'm just curious. See, to me, I'd rather see a local band play all the hits of stuff they know.
Right. It's basically a live jukebox. You know, you go see a good local band, a cover band, and
that's yeah.
And you know what? Let me address this. We cover bands do work really hard. All right, we do. We're out there trying to promote. We're trying to get the word out. We're going to be out there playing for 4 hours. You know, your favorite band is going to play for an hour and a half. But the thing is, even to this now, did you notice this? I think I noticed this like 2 years ago. Actually, bars that have bands, they're starting to like throw other bars under the bus. They're like, oh, that they're getting to ASCAP and stuff and BMI saying, they're trying to shut these bars down for competition. It's like all we're doing is trying to give you the best show we can give, the best live jukebox we can give. We're not special. We're not special, but don't get it twisted. We are not. like Huck and Philbillies, great band. Jimmy Migliozzi, great frontman. Thing is, though, is we're not superstars. We're just giving you the best show we can give you locally. Mm-hmm. And that's fun. It's fun. And I love when people come out, and there's nothing more rewarding than being on stage and seeing people have fun and knowing you're a part of it. But don't get it twisted. We are just a live jukebox. But then when you got people coming in, like say Billy Squire. Is he dead? I don't even know. But if Billy Squire
that
came
one
to
bad
town,
video hurt him.
Oh yeah, the one with the pink like shorts that kind of screwed up his
bad rock and roll video.
But you know, that's, you know, all we're trying to do is entertain. And but now ever since piracy, right? Ever since who's that dude that Metallica battled?
Oh yeah.
Ever since then, it's truly really is bad. I mean, there are guys that are famous guitar players that have a side job of painting billboards because there is no more music industry. There really isn't. I mean, record sales have gone down 40%.
It's over.
It's over because of piracy. Yeah.
You can't.
And I won't pirate anymore. I used to.
Here's what you can have. These cheesy events that they have where 50 artists show up and they do one or two things, because that's all they have. Very rarely are you any more going to have somebody that you could hire, form around a food festival where they sit up there and play for 2.5 hours. What are they going to play? Chopsticks? I mean, what happens after their second song that was popular? Because the people come and go so quick, and it's nothing. They're not putting together pieces of work. Like, I'll give you an example. I love the comeback band stuff.
Like Deep, 38 Special or something.
When Deep Purple left for, and Deep Purple came back with Perfect Stranger. And I remember sitting in
that's
the car.
That's my favorite Deep Purple song.
And heard that start and went, you've got to be kidding.
That
me.
Is the coolest song ever.
Richie Deep Blackmore
Purple, is the best song ever.
And I want to tell you, I ran the first show. They invited me and Dominic to see if we wanted to. It would have been a lot of money, but we got invited. They treat us like gold. I was sitting right in front of Jimmy Page. I had a cigar going, I have the greatest job in the world.
Yeah, this but is, now for you to experience that, it would cost you $2,000.
Easy, but they're giving me the ticket hoping I buy the show. And then when I'm sitting there and the ground is shaking, while we're walking to Blossom, they were playing and the ground was actually shaking.
You know what? Blossom. One of my favorite concert experiences was at Blossom. It was back in the 90s. Excuse me. You know how Poison, every now and then they'll grab some old bands and they'll do a tour. And you know what? Nothing again. Poison is a great show. Mm-hmm. They are fantastic. They really are. I feel it's kind of a...
Not one of my favorites, but yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like if you're like a big, like, you know, Pink Floyd fan or saying you're like in a... Or Journey, I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody says. Journey has like some of the best musicians ever.
I think Pink Floyd...
But
back when they were popular, I was young and really didn't get it. But listening to some of the stuff now, like Learning to Fly, that song is amazing.
I go to this show at Blossom, and it's me and my girlfriend and her friend, and we're in the pavilion. And at the end of the show, I'm thinking, you know what? There's not really a whole lot of things blocking us. So we're like, hey, let's go, you know, try to move around. So we actually go back behind Blossom. We see where the trucks are parked. We actually walked right through there. No big deal. Start going down steps, open up a room, and there's Bret Michaels and CeCe DeVille. And let me tell you, Bret Michaels is a stand-up guy. I walk right up to him, and my girlfriend's like, wants her boob signed or something. You know, he literally looked at me and said, is that okay? That's a good stand-up guy. But anyway, CC was my dude because I'm a guitar player, you know. So, you know, I go hang with CC, and then when I'm leaving, Rat was the one that opened for Poison. And then
Rat was supposed to be the big they first came out, that was supposed to be the big.
Well, when I saw Warren DeMartini sitting outside of a bus, for real, I walked right up to there's nobody around, it's just me and him. Shook hands, talked. This is the guy that made me. Now I'm a huge Randy Rhoads fan. All right, Randy Rhoads is my god. But when I was in fifth grade and I heard the intro to Round and Round from Rat, that made me that's the sound I wanted. So me meeting Warren DeMartini, and he stood there. We're sitting there talking for like 10 minutes. Guy comes out of the bus and says, Warren, we got to go. And he's like, all right, just a minute. You know, that was like one of my most precious.
What about Stevie Stevens?
Oh, from Billy Idol. Yeah,
he's badass. I don't know what.
Steve Stevens
I
is.
I thought he was.
He's awesome.
He turned a punk rocker into a rock star.
He did. And the
because is, those first couple songs, yeah. Dance With Myself, crap. I didn't like them. What was the other one? White Wedding. Didn't like it.
Well, but, you know, I was in Fetish. Fetish, Sharon, I'm here for you. Yeah. We did a
Rebel Yell was Rebel like, Yell.
That's what we
whoa.
Did. And of course, I played it different because I'll never play anything the exact same way, you know, but because I got
Flush
my own.
For Fantasy. That was one Flush Michael Jackson saw and wanted him to play in his Dirty Diana song.
Oh, did you ever see the video where he had a Slash, where Michael Jackson had Slash on stage? And you can tell it was time for Slash to be done, but he kept overstepping. And Michael Jackson's trying to dance and act cool, and he's like, "Get the."
Yeah, he watched the video of Flush for Fantasy and went to one of the shows, and he asked him to do Dirty Diana.
Dirty Diana was a great song. That was a cool song.
And then what was You Don't Need a Gun? I thought that was a great song.
You know what? And it's funny. When you say that, it takes me back to Def Leppard. Billy's Got a Gun. That was such a great song. It was certainly great music.
The object of this, we can do this all day.
Exactly. We could easily.
Days are gone. So here's what you're stuck with. Overpaying for 80-year-old relics.
Yeah.
Or
you don't want to pay $400 for a ticket to see a 60-year-old.
When they start having fake bands for fake bands, then we... Wait a minute.
And then your favorite bands, they got like the 20-year-old drummer because the original can't keep up.
What I'm saying, that's fine. As long as the lead singer is there, I don't give a rat's hind end who's behind you.
Right.
You can put up cutouts right here. But when they have like seven bridges, they play at the amp.
Oh, yeah.
When they start having 17 bridges as a copy to that because we don't have anything.
17 bridges because it takes 17 people to, like, you know, make that music.
We're starting to get the copy band of the copy bands because.
Oh, there's nothing better than when you have a cover band doing a cover of a band doing a cover.
Where else do you think it's going to go? It's not going to go the other direction anymore.
Hey, music is music. As long as everybody's having fun, that's fun. But you know what it is? You know, you were talking about.
Just the show business going to be hard.
Ever since piracy, and no, I loved it. I'm not gonna lie, I loved it. I was like, oh wow, you know, I can, you know, download this and get. I was into it. I was my stepdad. All right, he's a Yoder toter now. He retired from General Motors, but he got bored because, you know, he's 100% Italian and he's not gonna sit around and be bored. So he went and got, you know, another job. Well, believe it or not, this is funny. The Amish, they would send me lists. Everything from like DMX to Metallica on because they wanted me to make them CDs. Yes, yeah. The Amish are cool. Just so you know. But anyway, that would happen. And I'm just like, you know what? This is wrong. When Metallica did that fight against Napster, and there were a lot of people behind them, you know, they just didn't want to get into the politics of it and be like, you know, because, you know, everybody would start smashing CDs, Metallica CDs over it. If you knew how many people were behind them, but we're just too scared to get into it. But yeah, but I did. I quit pirating because I believed in it. I'm like, look, we have no right to say how much money you can make. We have no right to say, but now look at it. How much does it cost for you to go see a Def Leppard concert? Probably $400 for nosebleed because there's no record sales. They're down 40%. And that's 10 years ago. No, 10 years ago, it was down 40%. Exactly. So
that's why they're reselling LPs now.
Exactly. So what everybody's going out to do a live show, that's the only way they're making music now. So when somebody says, I can't believe it's $200 for a ticket, it's like, well, that's because you're not buying their album.
Yeah.
Makes sense, right?
And it also, it's a tug of war. Listen, before they started playing at casinos, there was a lot. You could get a couple thousand dollars. They were routing through. Hey, I'm on my way to David Lee Roth played a Warren. Packer Music Hall. Hmm. They paid him $11,000. He was coming through, put on a show when he was doing the Eat 'em and Smile thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. You aren't going to get, listen, you aren't going to get the third version of the fifth version of the Beach Boys for under $25,000.
It's so funny you said David Lee Roth, and I don't know if I brought this up on the last show or not, but my first big concert, I was a teenager, and I went and saw Poison open for David Lee Roth. And that's back when he had Steve Vai with the hard guitar. Yeah. And I was so excited for it because I'm a guitar player. Yeah. So I can't wait to see Steve Vai. Yeah. Now, Poison was great, of course. And I have seen Poison like 12 times. That's why I was saying earlier, they really do put on a good show. But this is back when they were starting out. You know, they did their 45-minute set, and David Lee Roth came out. And it was it Eat 'em and Smile? I think it was Eat 'em and Smile.
I believe it was it. I think it was that.
Yeah. And he did, you know, he come out with the hard guitar, and I'm thinking,
Skyscraper tour.
Skyscraper, that's what it was. That's what it was. And the thing was, is he was so arrogant, and so it was, I love loud. You know, I'm a musician. I love loud, but it was so loud that it sounded like shit. All right. And then Steve Vai comes out, and David Lee Roth's talking like, stick with me, kid. I'll make you a star. And that kind of, I started going to go buy a beer, buy a shirt. I didn't even pay attention anymore. You know, I respect David Lee Roth for what he's done in music. I do think he's cool as hell, but that was probably my worst concert experience, was seeing David Lee Roth.
Well, he was my favorite.
And well, you sound like
a million. I did.
You should do their
shows. I do a great imitation of him too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But he was so humbled by then that he was.
I bet now he's probably awesome, but when I saw him,
there's no doubt he was.
It was like 86 or 87.
He was one of the nicest, and I've done a million things. He didn't ask for anything. He went out and did. And Fast Freddy and I talk about this all the time.
Oh, I noticed that it was the Y103 now. Fast Freddy, I'm glad to see you're still working.
It was one of the best shows we ever saw, and we've seen a zillion of them. But nobody expected him to come out and play Van Halen songs like that, one right after another. No breaks, no the crowd singing crap, no melodies where they put songs together so they don't have to sing them.
It was weird.
It's an awesome show.
I don't mean one to slam on Van Halen either, but when David Lee Roth does a show, I do have to give it up to him that he will do more of his songs, and he'll throw in some Van Halen. You know,
yeah, he wrote a lot of them.
But he's not trying to like step on their, you know, go on their heels. Now, when Van Halen has a different singer, you know, I'm sure they fight over the set list and stuff, but, you know, they're going to be doing songs about with different singers. You know, when I did see David Lee Roth, it was nice to see that he wasn't, you know, like stepping on their coattails. He was doing his own thing.
He was really.
He did do some Van Halen, but it wasn't all about.
Right. But at the end in 2000 and whatever that was, 2008, he only did a couple of his. And the rest of them were all Van Halen. Yeah. Like he did a couple of his really good, just like Paradise and things like that.
He was a great voice, show, you know.
It was an awesome show. You know, I forgot to mention, remember how we're not allowed to question elections? How's come Hillary was allowed? They had her taped
she was
247 times saying she got ripped off.
For 2 years, she's like, The election. But, you know, now that Trump says it, it's
guy,
like, why are you asking about it? Well, why did people are so damaged over.
Look, I thank you for these. I thank you for always being a really good guest.
Do not tell me that this show is over already.
Yeah, I just got the word.
You got to be kidding me. I feel like we just started.
I didn't even get to all of your the questions I wanted to ask about.
We didn't even get to any questions. You know, I thought this was still the intro.
But this sets up for the next show. Because if we do it all, then who the heck cares what Byron Lewis says from here on out?
I'm literally, for real. All right, I'm looking right in the camera. I am not kidding. I thought this was still the intro. I had no idea that this was. Every time we get together, it's over as soon as we start.
But it's always good. And I always said, you have somebody's attention span for only a certain amount of time. I don't care what it is. Like when we used to college and that, when that class was longer than 50 minutes, bro, I was scribbling stuff on a pad. You lose everybody. It's just,
you know what?
How about posts on Facebook? when you start reading down. I don't care what it says. You're done. We're not doing that. And here's my thoughts for the week. Oh my gosh, nobody cares.
You gotta talk to the brass of this show, because that was for real. I'm not kidding. I thought that was just the intro. I thought we were just getting ready to get into the show.
Well, we could spend the whole night. We could have like a 24-hour marathon show.
You know what? We should. We need to
call. Nobody called in, so I don't want to hear anybody's crap when they're complaining because they.
You know what? Next show, I'm gonna put that out. I'm gonna be like, look, you all can call in and everything. And
I did put on Facebook, you can call in, but if you're gonna debate me, you'll have a butter knife and I'll have a machine gun. So be careful of that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. That might have done.
No, say it everything. Say it all. Yeah. Wait. You know what? I'm not worried about making people feel good about themselves.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.